Raise your hand if you've heard some of the praise sermons we've been doing. The first sermon was unconditional praise. Unconditional praise, in which we talked about David, in which he was running from Saul. Saul was trying to take his life. And then the second one we had was transitional praise. Transitional praise, in which we talked about the children of Israel escaping the hands of Pharaoh. And they had Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. They were going through a transition. And when you're going through different seasons of your life and transitions, you need to make sure you're praising God, because it is God who allows you to go through the transition. And last Sunday, we talked about unusual praise. Unusual praise. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we should have a totally different response. And those responses are legitimate responses. But when you have praise on your lips and you praise God in the most difficult circumstances, it can oftentimes be considered unusual praise. And when you have unusual praise, you see unusual blessings and consequences. And to carry on in the same theme of the anatomy of praise, today's message is entitled Total Praise. Total Praise. And next week we'll finish out with Ultimate Praise. But today we're going to talk about total praise. Total praise. What is total praise? Well, when we pull up the model of praise, the P is for pain. Pain. A lot of us can have experienced pain in our lives, and we can look back over the precipice of our lives and see that we have faced some type of painful situations or painful circumstances. Some of us have had some painful childhoods, amen? But God got you through it. The R is for regrets. Regrets. Many of us can look back over our lives and we can earmark some regrets that we have. Some decisions we may have made in ignorance, or some decisions we made because we were emotionally driven versus truth driven, and we've made some decisions that we're still paying for today. Regrets. The A is for abandonment. Many of us may have been abandoned by loved ones, or abandoned by a spouse, or even abandoned by our children. It's not always the parents that abandon their children. Sometimes children can abandon their parents. Amen. And the I is for isolation. Isolation. Sometimes you feel like you're all alone. Sometimes you feel like you've been ostracized by the crowd. You've been ostracized. You've been called a holy roller, or you know, you're too religious, or you're a fanatic, or we don't have time to, you know, we can't say certain things around you because you're too uptight, isolated. Sometimes it's our own family members who isolate us. Amen. And the S is for setbacks. Many times praise is born from setbacks. Have you ever had a setback in your life? Have you ever thought everything was lining up for you and you get slapped back down to the ground? Everything was working out and then the loan fell through. You was about to close on the house and something fell through with the credit, and now the house is back up for contract. Setbacks. Have you ever had a setback in your life? Your health may be a setback. Things are going well and the doctor tells you here's a new diagnosis of something we didn't catch the first time. Setback. Have you ever been there? And last but not least is expectation. Praise is made from expectation. Have you ever expected great things from God? Have you ever expected something to happen, a change, a breakthrough, whatever it may have been? Have you ever had an expectancy for God to move in your life? Have you ever had an expectancy for God to come through for you? Have you ever got tired of waiting on God? Because you feel that your endurance has run out. Expectancy. And today we're going to look at a very familiar passage and a very familiar individual of the Bible who had great expectancy. His name was Abraham. Abraham. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to ask that God show us what he wants us to know today. I stand here knowing that God is real. But I also stand here being cognizant that I'm not worthy. But let me say that again. I stand here knowing that God is real. But I also stand in my unworthiness. I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to teach. But God is good anyhow, amen? And guess what? Neither are you worthy. You should have Genesis 22 by now. When you have it, say amen. Total praise. Total praise. Have you ever been to the grocery store? And maybe you always had it like that, but you ever had some lean times when you may have had only $50 in your pocket and there's no groceries in the house, or $50 on your card until the 15th. And you get in line. And maybe you've never done this before, but I've been occasionally, I frequent this mindset. I would be in line, and as my groceries are being on the conveyor belt of the cash registers, I say, stop right there and give me a subtotal. Have you ever been there? Have you ever asked for a subtotal knowing that everything that was in your cart you could not afford? But you didn't want to be embarrassed because there are other people in the line and you can feel their eyes burning your neck, like, you know you didn't have enough money. Why would you ask for a subtotal? And then you get indignant when the cashier says your subtotal a little too loud. Okay. And then when you ask for the subtotal, you do a quick inventory on what's important and what I need to put back. Y'all don't know nothing about that. And you had a taste for ice cream, but you couldn't afford the ice cream today because you could not pay the total of what you had. So you have to make a decision. Do I buy a gallon of ice cream or a box of oodles and noodles that'll feed me for 5 days? Oodles and noodles win. But that is how we are when it comes to praise. We put only a certain amount of praise on the table. And God is saying you left so much in the cart. You want me to give you total blessing, but you don't want to give me total praise. You want me to give you a whole job. You want me to give you a whole car. You want me to give you a whole husband or whole wife, but you want to give me half praise. Total praise. Now, I'm not here yet. But God has given me this to speak to us. Are you with me? So please don't look at me with a judging eye, because I'm going to put my hands up first. I'm not there yet. Maybe you are, but I still have a lot of items in my cart that I have yet to put on the conveyor belt for the cashier to ring up and give me a total. Are y'all ready for the word this morning? Genesis, first book of the Bible, chapter 22. We'll look at the first 18 chapters and we'll look at what total praise looks like. Abraham is considered the father of the faith. As a matter of fact, God himself said that Abraham was my friend. Now, it's one thing to be a child of God. It's another thing to be a son and daughter of God. But it's a whole nother level when God calls you his friend. Now, God doesn't call everyone his friend. That's human. But what made God call Abraham his friend? Could it be that Abraham exhibited total praise? And when he exhibited total praise, he left nothing off the table. Verse 1 through 8, if you have something to write with, my first point is, total praise is directly correlated with our relationship to God. Total praise is directly correlated to our relationship with God. A correlation is a statistical term. And correlation means relationship. Okay? For example, the temperature outside can be correlated to our quality of breathing. Y'all walking with me? Meaning that there's some type of relationship between the two. And I have asthma, so how many asthmatics or bronchitis sufferers are out there like myself? When it gets muggy outside and it's 100 degrees at nighttime, I have to be very careful because my asthma may act up. Because my asthmatic condition is correlated to the external environmental conditions of the temperature and the weather. Now, there's some yellow stuff that's falling off of trees right now. And it's on your cars and it's all over the ground. And it's like a yellow dusty stuff. You know what I'm talking about? It's called pollen. And how many people have allergies? And this is one of the worst times of year because your throat is itchy and your eyes are red and watery and you're snorting like a pig sound. It's okay. I'm at home. I do it. But the pollen has gotten so entrenched in our throats that our body quickly tries to reject it and it causes us to snort and sneeze and our eyes are itchy and watery. It's correlated. Y'all walking with me? Our allergy, our allergic reaction is correlated with the level of pollen outside. So total praise is directly correlated with our relationship to God. Basically, your level of praise will tell on your relationship with God. Are y'all walking with me? Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 through 8. It says, now it came about after these things that God, what? Tested Abraham. The first verse starts out, Roni, with a test. God is coming out of the gate in verse 1 and saying, look, Abraham, I'm about to put you to the test. Oftentimes, God will test us. He will test us. Let me tell us something. Every test has a level of difficulty, or it wouldn't be a test. But what I like about God is that all of his tests are open notebook quizzes. Now, I'm not talking about a notebook that you write in. I'm talking about the Bible. So when you go through your test, open up your book. Because this book will help you pass the test that God may put you through. So God will give you an opportunity to be well prepared for the test you're going through, but you have to open up your book. Is anybody with me? He's going to test Abraham, and he said, "Here I am." Man, Abraham is not backing away. He's like, "Lord, I'm right here." He said, "Take now your what? Your what? Only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you." Now, this is contradictory. Because we know that a lot of pagans would sacrifice their children to demons and false gods and things of that nature. So why would a holy God, why would Yahweh ask Abraham to seemingly parallel with pagans did? God was testing him. God already knew he wasn't going to allow Abraham to kill his son. But he was testing Abraham's love for him above his love for his son. My question is, saints, do you love God more than the closest person in your life? Do you love God more than the most interesting thing in your life? Do you love God more than the most important things that you value in life? This is the test that God is testing Abraham with. He's testing him not on killing his son, but on prioritizing God. Will we prioritize God above all else? He says, "Take your only son." And then he says, so Abraham rose early. Let the church say early. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to get up early in the mornings if I don't have to. And I'm pretty sure if someone said, "I have $1 million waiting on you, but you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive 100 miles to get it," all of us would be early risers. Because it's something that would motivate you to do it. Right? But who gets up early? This is why I don't want to walk over this too quickly. Who gets up early to kill their son that they love? Y'all see the connection here? Abraham's relationship with God was so tight that he got up early. He didn't take time to think about it. And sometimes when we're under a test, saints, don't take too much time to think about it. Because if you take too much time thinking about it, you may think yourself out of a blessing. You may think yourself out of obedience. If you take too long to let certain things go, amen, then you may reason with yourself and say, "No, let me hold on and ride this thing out." But the Bible says that Abraham got up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place to which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw a place from a distance. Abraham said to these young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over, and we will what? Worship and what? Hold on. That's not what God said. God told Abraham, sacrifice your son, your only son, the one you love. But Abraham's words don't match what God's word said. Abraham told his servants, he said, y'all stay here, and me and my son are going to go worship God. And we're going to both return. What kind of faith is that? What kind of faith is that? Where you say, even though all odds are stacked against me, I'm still going to have an expectation that God is going to come through. Total praise. Now you got to understand, Moriah was 2 to 3 days away from where he was. God gave him a command where he was, and he had to travel 2 days. That's a long time to reconsider what you're about to do. But Abraham was totally focused on serving God and obeying him totally. And it says here, we will come back and return. Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took his hand and the fire and the knife. Now, we got to understand something. Isaac wasn't a little boy. Isaac was 20 years old. So Isaac was a grown man. And a lot of times we overshadow Isaac's obedience and only look at Abraham's obedience. But Abraham is well over 100 years old. Now you have a man that's probably 120 something years old versus a man that's 20 years old. Physically, that's no comparison. So if Isaac wanted to, he could have told his dad, Dad, I'm not doing this. This is crazy. And you're not going to physically make me do anything. You're 120 something years old. I'm 20. But God set up Isaac's heart to line up with his father's heart. Now, doesn't this sound familiar? Abraham was Isaac's father. And Isaac could have made his own decision. But Isaac aligned his decision with the father's decision. And it wasn't Isaac's will, it was Abraham's will that superseded Isaac's will. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. He said, not my will, but thy will. Y'all see the parallel? So this was a shadow, this was a type of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ would make on the cross. But see, unlike Abraham, where the knife was withheld, God didn't withhold his wrath on his son. Is anybody walking with me today? Total praise. Total praise is directly related or correlated with our relationship to God. Sometimes, saints, your relationship with God is going to determine some decisions you make in your regular life. Sometimes you're going to have to deny yourself. Sometimes you may not be able to get yoked up with certain people in certain business deals because your relationship with God would be compromised. Y'all walking with me? There's going to be a sacrifice of some level when you're walking with the Lord. Don't let anybody lie to you or fool you. When you're walking with Christ, you're going to have to take some losses down here. Notice what I said, down here. Because the world we find ourselves in is anti-God. Y'all walking with me? It's anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-worshiping of God. So there are going to be some times that your relationship with God is going to have to trump your friendship with people you really care about. Is anybody with me? Second point, total praise is grounded in unshakable expectation. Total praise is grounded in unshakable expectation. Let's look at verse 8 through 14. And the Bible says, Abraham said, God will provide. Well, let's go back to 7. Because Isaac is talking to his father. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. So this is totally a faith walk. Totally a faith walk. And it says here, verse 9, then they came to a place on which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But, let the church say but. But the angel of the Lord, said, do not, it was Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know. Catch this. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt sacrifice in the place of his son. You know, and it says, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Yireh, or the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. When God tests us, he's not going to always show us every step of the way. And here we see Abraham, the ram didn't show up until he pulled out his knife. And there's some things that God has for all of us that's not going to show up until we're willing to give up everything else. And he said, now I know that you love God above anything else. But many of us would say, why did God wait that late to the ninth hour to say, now I know? Why didn't God know when he saddled his donkey and when he took that 2 or 3 day trip to Mount Moriah and when he tied up his son and when he spoke in faith? Why is it that God said, I'm going to wait till you get to the very end for us to say, now we know that you love God? Because God is sovereign. And this was a test of Abraham's faith. Unshakable expectation. And the last point, total praise is the gateway to unimaginable blessings. The first point was total praise is a direct correlation of our relationship to God. Second point is total praise is grounded in unshakable expectation. And lastly, total praise is the gateway to unimaginable blessings. What blessings are we talking about? We're talking about generational blessings here. Look at verse 15, it reads, Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Because," let the church say because "you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed," let the church say indeed, "I will greatly" what? "Bless you, and I will greatly" what? "Multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand on the shore, which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies, and your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed because you," catch this, "because you have obeyed my voice." Because you, we're sitting here today serving God because of Abraham. And we're not even Jews, so to speak. But he said, "You will be the father of many nations." And because of his obedience in Genesis 22, we're in 2020 serving God. Talking about Abraham in 2020. Because he obeyed God. And he gave total praise. And because he gave total praise, he had an awesome, unimaginable reward from God. Now, as I close out, some of you may be saying, "Well, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. That sounds good. And, you know, where is it? If he was so faithful, what does the New Testament say about him?" Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see what Hebrews says about this man, Abraham. We have Hebrews 11, say amen. We're going to start at verse 17. Start at verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was" what? "Tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his" what? "Only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.'" Okay, verse 19, "He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." Now, this answers the question on why Abraham said in Genesis 22 to his servants, "Y'all stay here, me and the lad are going to go worship God, and we're going to come back." Hebrews 11 gives us what Abraham was thinking in Genesis 22. Abraham knew that God was so powerful that no matter if, even if my son dies, God is able to bring him back. Y'all not catching this. There's some things in our lives that we give up and we think is dead. But when you have total praise, when you know that God is able to do the impossible, even the things you give up, whether it's a job you give up, whether it's a child you give over to God, God is able to bring them back when you let them go. What is God asking you to let go of? Only to get it back. Only to get it back. And as I was studying this about total praise, I said, "Wow, you mean to tell me that can't nobody outgive God? Can't nobody outdo God? Can't nobody comfort you like God can comfort you? Can't nobody bless you like God can bless you? Can't nobody protect you like God can protect you? Can't nobody keep you like God can keep you? You mean to tell me I need to let go of my anxiety? You mean to tell me I need to let go of my worry? You mean to tell me I need to be like Matthew 6:33, not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you? You mean to tell me I can trust God at his word? Yes, when you have a mindset of total praise, you can do that. Right now, people are in stores fighting over toilet paper, fist fighting. People are trying to sell under the table hand sanitizer for $25 for a bottle. Price gouging. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Price gouging this stuff. It's like liquid gold now. This world is in chaos. But when chaos is all around us as children of God, you don't have to be infected or contaminated by the chaos that people are losing their mind. I can't lose my mind when I'm hidden in him. You are hidden in Christ. The Bible says in Colossians that Jesus holds all things together. He keeps us sustained. He sustains us. He keeps us. He protects us. He even heals us. Nothing can't move unless God say so. God can allow you to get the coronavirus and then not express itself because he said, I won't let it go but so far in your body. But see, when you don't have a mindset of total praise, you get stuck by looking at the situation that you find yourself in and not looking at the God of the situation. God is bigger than a virus. God is bigger than the chaos. God is bigger than our anxiety. God is bigger than our sick leave on the job. God is bigger than our employment. God is bigger than the schools being shut down for 2 weeks. God is bigger than anything that you can muster up, anything you can imagine or think. God is bigger. But you have to totally believe that. Total praise. Now, that doesn't mean that you act in ignorance and you don't take the precautions. And it doesn't mean that you go to a place with 1,000 people and test God. No, that's not what I'm saying. But don't be held hostage by fear. Don't be arrested by the panic and pandemonium of what's going on around you. Because God is going to use this to open up dialogue with the unbeliever about the reality of God. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter your political affiliation. It doesn't matter whether you hate somebody or love somebody. This thing is hitting everybody. But the Bible tells me God holds the whole world in his hands. And he hangs it on nothing. He keeps the world rotating on its axis. Too much to the left, we fall off. Too much to the right, gravity takes over. God is holding it all together. And if God is strong enough to hold the entire globe together, can he not take care of his people? Can he not take care of you? Same God. When Daniel was thrown into the lions, then the same God changed the appetite, turned lions into instant vegetarians. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Y'all didn't catch that. A lion is a carnivore. A lion eats 60 pounds of meat a day. Do your research. And the Bible says Daniel, because he had total praise, and he said, I'm not going to bow down. And I'm not going to worship another God. I'm going to keep praying to my God because God's got me. Even though I'm working in a pagan society, I serve the true and living God. But his faith caused him to be in prison. And they threw him in a lion's den, not a lion's cage. You got to understand the difference. A cage has one lion. A den has a whole pride. If you don't know what a pride is between 12 and 25 lions. So Daniel, who was 84 in his 80s at the time, is being cast into a lion's den full of lions. Each lion eats about 60 pounds of flesh a day. But God, because of total praise, totally turned their carnivorous appetite into a vegetarian appetite, where they didn't even want to lick the skin of Daniel. But isn't it amazing? On the next day, when the king was screaming at the mouth of the cave, and the mouth of the, he said, "Daniel, servant of the Most High God, are you still there?" And Daniel, like Abraham, said, "Here I am." He said, "Daniel, come on out." And God turned that thing around, that all of his accusers and their families and children were cast into the same predicament, in the same environment as the child of God Daniel was in. But they didn't have total praise. They had total disobedience. And God so rebooted the lion's appetite. So the lion was no longer a vegetarian. He was a meat eater. And guess what? God gave him double for his trouble. He said, "Since you didn't eat yesterday, you're going to eat for yesterday and today in one setting." So the Bible says that when Darius threw the families and the people that accused Daniel, threw them in the lion's den, that the Bible said the lions devoured them before they hit the floor. That's the God you serve. Don't worry about the teeth of the lions on your jobs. Don't worry about the nasty emails that you may get from wicked supervisors. Y'all not walking with me. Don't listen to the roar of the people threatening to displace you. When you have total praise, when you say, "Lord, I'm willing to give this up," God said, "You're going to get it right back." Because God always, 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 always has a ram in the bush for those who have total praise. He has a ram in the bush for you. Now, what that is, I don't know. But I know God's a good God. I know I'm not worthy, but he's more than worthy. And we have to be reminded that it was God the whole time. It was God the entire time. When you had to make ends meet and rub two nickels together, it was God who got you through that transition. When you may not have had a roof over your head, money in your account, it was God that didn't look at your condition and still kept you. But then when you got promoted and got that job and was able to take care of your family, it was God who transitioned you. And then when you were in situations that people counted you out, but God counted you in, you gave an unusual praise. And now we come to the point where when you add unconditional praise, transitional praise, unusual praise, you have the equation of total praise. And when you have total praise, you get to see parts of God that the average person cannot see. You go to places that the average person does not go. You have a level of faith that the average person does not have, because you are totally committed, you are totally willing.